Thank you, everybody, for doing that. And I'm big into education, so this is our accreditation that we've been working on, and we yesterday had a workshop where we were teaching people the second part of their accreditation phase. And one thing that we need to do when you're accredited professional, rainwater professional, is you have to get these educational points. And one thing we think we need to do is help those accreditation rainwater harvesters get their accreditation extra points. And in doing that, as the next past president, one of the things I'm going to try and do is put together maybe like a 5-page educational subject. And one of those subjects that I'm looking at right now is rainwater catchment in cold weather. So when I go through this, I've never done cold weather collection. I'm from Arizona. So we would like to get input from anybody that has any additional information on this so we can make it a maybe even the first in our series of educational units, credit units for our accredited professionals. So please help me, send me information. This is just all that I have found as I've gone through the research on this. You point it to this. Just want to go through a little bit of an introduction, talk about the concept of rainwater collection in the cold environments, and talk about a project that we did a concept for. It hasn't been installed yet, but it's just a system that was in a competition. The only thing that I could find on the cold weather came mainly from Alaska. And we searched everywhere we could to find cold weather collection. We did find some in like natural disaster, how you protect your water systems, your water tanks, and how to insulate them, but that was it. It was very little information out there. There was some information on how to collect the snow and what you could get with that snow. There was when it rains, your rainwater collection is exactly the same as anywhere else, but when it snows, there's a big difference. And you have to look at your snow collection. What we came up with was 10 inches of snow, fresh snow, gave you about 0.7 inches of water. And as that snow compacts over time, you can get about 14 inches of snow will give you 1 inch of water, or 3 to 4 inches of snow will give you 1 inch of water as it compacts. So that's when the weather changes, you have to change your calculations in how you collect water. There's a lot of text in this, so there might be a little bit of reading, and to try and keep up with the time here. The tanks, you need larger tanks because a larger body of water doesn't freeze as much or as quick as the smaller tanks. The round tanks seem to be less easily frozen because there's not as many sides to it. You want straight tank sides. You don't want the corrugated or anything that has little holes that could give it more surface area to freeze. You need to insulate your tank, which is something we don't do anywhere that I know of right now. The tank roofs need to be able to support snow or any other items that may fall on that while you're in the cold time of the year. You need the steep roofs on the tanks so that the snow can fall away quickly. And no ladders inside your tanks. If it does freeze, it'll just shear off the ladders. The tank water itself, when it's really cold, the settling that we were talking about in our training session happens at 50% slower rate than in the warmer areas. You have a higher level of pollutants because that snow sits on your roof longer and it collects more dust and ash that may be coming from fireplaces or anything in the air. Moving water, Jack was just talking about a system that had the water moving through the tank. Moving water seems to not freeze as quickly, so that's something that you would want to think about in a cold weather. And if you had a solar hot water heater to help that circulation, it would keep the water in the tank warmer. I have to read it because I don't know it. The pipes, of course, need to be frozen, below the freeze line, and they need to be insulated when possible. And the distribution points to the building or where you're taking your water needs to be either in the building or below the freeze line again. And this one I'm not too sure about because they would like to see you use the medium density polyethylene, the MDPE pipe. And Tim might be able to speak to that a little bit more, but they're not sure about the potable potential of the water going through that. There probably needs to be a little more information on that. And of course, you always need to drain your pipes. Now, being from Wyoming, we always drained our pipes outside anyway when it got cold. But you definitely have to drain them when it's not, you wouldn't want a wet system, you would want a dry system. All the water drains to your tanks. The valves, the box, they need to be in a box, an insulated box. And of course, you can't have that down below the freeze line. I mean, what we were looking at was 4 feet, so you couldn't have your valves that far down. The tank foundations, and we talked about tanks yesterday and the foundations and whether you should have them on a concrete or right on the ground. Well, in the cold area, you need to have that bottom either insulated or you need to have like a gravel base or some kind of a concrete base because the water will start to heat up the ground, and if it's a frozen part, it may sink more in some areas than it would in other areas and start to tilt your tank a little bit, which is opposite of what we were talking about yesterday. Pumps, they need to have the low temperature diesels and the oils in them, and they need to be insulated as well so the whole thing keeps operating when it's really cold. And chlorination, we talked about it in some situations yesterday, but chlorination in cold water really slows down. And if you need to have your water chlorinated, you need to have a longer period for that water to be processed through the chlorination. And where I got this was from the Alaskan Building Research Series. And you can see it up there. It's the HCM-01557. It's Water Cistern Construction for Small Houses. And they have a little bit more information on like permafrost, which I know nothing about, coming from Arizona. But this one, the cistern sides and the bottoms need to all be insulated when you're in that type of an area. The cistern, whether you're placing it on rock or you're putting it in warm soil, some of that may come up and heat your water and keep it from freezing as well. And that would have to be looked at and whether you have to put it on an insulated base. And we have some details here to show you. And they give us some details of square insulated tanks, too. They would like to see, of course, the cisterns be below the freeze line. And if you can't get it below the freeze line, there's a foam that you can put above the tank. And I don't know what the angles are. Nobody described that or even determined what that would need to be, how far out. It would have to go beyond the edges of your tank to let that freeze be protected. All the pipes should be insulated, include heat tapes. And heat tapes are a whole new thing to me as well. But they would want it on the roof. I've seen them in Aspen where they kind of zigzag them along the roof line to help melt some of that snow. They have them in the gutters, they have them going down the downspout, and they have them in the tanks. And everywhere to keep it from freezing up, because if your gutters freeze or your downspout freezes, then the whole system is lost. They have automatic thermostats inside the cisterns that help turn off those heat tapes when it's not needed. And the drain, if you have like a summer cistern, if it's only for the summer, they would recommend that you drain the entire system before the winter comes. Heat tapes, again, we talked about that a little bit more, but the heat tapes, there was various types of heat tapes when you start looking into them, and there was some brand names that some people seemed to swear by and others that said started fires. So I would say if you did get into a cold system, you would really want to research those heat tapes to make sure you get the right one. And I can't even recommend which brand at this point, but that's something that we'll get into more. And that in cold areas, the maintenance is even more important than it is in the warm areas, because there's cracking, there's splitting, the pipes break, they fill up with ice. You really need to take a lot more interest in your systems. We have some details that came from Alaska. This one shows the tank being partially buried. You can see the drain. Even the inlet to the pump is going into the building, and it's below grade, which we always have everything above grade, so we can pretty much see it or go from that point. These are the tanks that would be insulated on top of rock or on top of the soil for the permafrost and trying to get some of the heat coming up from down below. This detail shows, if you can see it, it's kind of small, but the heat tape wrapping around everything in the gutter going down the downspout into the tank, and the water going on into the house to the pump. These are two other details. The one shows the foam that would go above the tank. And that's mainly if you can't get your tank down below the frost line. So if your frost line needs to be more than 4 feet, you know, you would want to try and insulate it above the ground. The other one shows the thermostat inside the tank. Now, we did a competition. We helped the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation. They were working on a sustainable house competition. So we put together a tank for them, and we were on the team in condo. And we used a Frelo tank, which is a blow mold situation. And we located it 4 feet below the soil surface. This is just a side detail of the tank. And this one shows the Frelo tanks. They recommend that the pumps are inside the tank, so you'd really want to have those heated so that it wouldn't freeze. And then moving it into the house from that. So for rainwater collection in cold environments, in conclusion, there would be following the guidelines from the Alaskan guideline, follow the tank manufacturing for deep burial. A lot of those tanks need to be reinforced inside so the soil doesn't collapse them. You need to use some kind of a first flush, something that you would have a heat tape in again, so that it wouldn't freeze, and potentially use some kind of a leaf catcher. Even in winter, you have debris that catches on those roofs and gets into your gutters. And that's it. So if anybody has any more information on cold weather collection, we would like to put that into our series and come up with a document that we can hand to somebody, because this is one item that we get a lot of calls on, especially up in Wyoming and Montana and those areas. Thank you. Mm-hmm.